and 15 through 17, Luke chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 12 and also verse 15 through 17. When you get there, say amen. If you're not there, say hold up. Amen. Everybody got it. Luke 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And after the angels were gone from them into heaven, verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I want to share with you a message entitled, The Sign or the Savior. The Sign or the Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your mighty word. We pray that you would keep us in your grace and love. Help us in all that we do, that we will proclaim Christ, and more importantly, that we would live the life of a Christian, a believer, being filled with your spirit and being led by your mighty power. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The sign or the Savior. In the 1970s, there was a song by the Five Man Electric Band. I guess y'all tell I like music, right? Five Man Electric Band. And it went something like this. Sign, sign, everywhere sign. Blocking out the scenery, wrecking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can you read the sign? How many of y'all heard that song before? Now, young people, I don't expect for you to have heard it because, yeah, you wasn't even thought of at that time. But that song paints a picture about signs that we need to be keenly aware of. One, signs are temporary. They're not there permanently. They are temporary, but they're given so that if you respond to them in the right way, you'll be able to get something simply by the sign. Now, what these artists were saying is that they were questioning the reason for the sign and asking if they were necessary. And yes, the answer is some signs are necessary, some are not. Some are not. And you got to pay attention, because otherwise a sign can be a distraction. It can be a distraction. Not only is it temporary, but it can be a distraction to you to keep you from really seeing what God wants you to see. And that's why we are bringing up this thing about the sign or the Savior. A lot of people are celebrating Christmas. And they're saying, oh, I love it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, wait a minute. God is the God of all time. And amen, no matter what day it is, it's the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. But what is it about Christmas, this sign of Christmas, the sounds and the signs of Christmas, sparkling lights and all of these wonderful things that we share? I'm not saying don't do it, but what I am saying, don't worship the sign. Because there's somebody deeper that's going to be with you every day. Are y'all in the house? And so what we must do is figure out whether or not we're going to be devoted to the sign or the Savior. As I bring you into this text, these wise men on the hillside, and suddenly all of these angelic hosts appeared. They appeared in a flash, and they showed up. And they said to the wise men, something is going on in Bethlehem, and God wants you to witness it. That's my paraphrase of it. But when they came with this sign, I want you to notice that there are three things that marketers will do when they try to get you to read a sign. A lot of thought has gone into it in most cases. One is they want to communicate. They're communicating something to you, And in that communication, they want you to get a clear message. Communication. The other C that goes along with this is conversion. They will target their advertisement or their sign to a specific group of people. If you're not a McDonald's person, you ain't gonna read a McDonald's sign. But if you have this habit of going to McDonald's to get their fries, they want to convert you. If you don't, amen, want their fries, they're gonna put them on the sign anyway. And they're gonna tell you, you deserve a break today. You can look at these marketing things because what they're trying to do is not only communicate the message, but they want to convert you. They're saying to you, we want you to use our product. And by the way, the biggest advertiser in the world and billions of dollars will go into their advertisement is Amazon. That's why they got that great big smile on the box or the package that you get. They're smiling. And you're smiling, you got the package. They're smiling because you bought it, and they're smiling all the way to the bank. So they want to convert you. They want to convert you. They want to give the message, but then convert you so that you will become their target audience. But then the third thing is completion. They don't want you just to see and say, oh, nice sign, beautiful sign. I love the colors of the sign. They want to get to the place where they can complete the transaction and you buy it. So away you go with your Big Mac. Munch, munch, munch. Crunch, crunch. And you're enjoying it. Because not only did they convert you to think that, but now you become a consumer. Isn't that something? Now think about these angels that appeared. Think about it. What would have happened if these shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, what if that flash of angels, that brightness of their glory had appeared and they just yawned and looked at it and said, oh, that's nice. That's nice. Man, God can really put on a show. What if they didn't respond? What if the message wasn't communicated? But not only could you hear the message, you could see it. Now, this thing was important because God could have sent one angel. And one angel is a bad dude. Excuse me, Lord, I ain't going to say dude, but anyway. One angel can kill 185 soldiers in one night and never get tired. One angel, one angel. Michael, one angel defends Israel. One angel. God didn't send one angel. He didn't send two. He didn't send three like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. God, amen, didn't send just a few angels. He sent a multitude, myriad, thousands of them. Why? Because God was communicating the number one message of all time. Hey, unto you a son is given. Unto you a Savior is born. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? But here comes the conversion part. Here comes the part that you have to think about. What if they looked at the sign and they kind of built a little shrine on the hillside and they wrote on the sign, said, here we saw God. Multitude of angels. And the scripture does record that in Luke. It does say that they saw the angels, right? It does say that the angels came to them and the angels manifested the glory of God, but they said, wait a minute, we got to go with the message. Now you're pointing to the Savior. Anything we do at Christmas, if it does not point to Christ, it's an idol. Your Christmas tree, amen, nothing wrong with it. Evergreen, that's all, that's good. Fake one, that's still good. Gold instead of green, that's still good. But it's got a point to one Savior. It's got a point to one God. Every gift that you give is a reminder of the gift that was given to you. Are y'all listening to me in here? Because I'm afraid that this holiday, holy day, is going to pass by and people are going to miss their time of fellowship and worship with the living God. Reverend Gibbons gave reference to what we used to do at Christmas. You know, all the rest of the time of the year, you drink cheap booze. But at Christmas time, you get your best scotch. Huh? Your best rum. Huh? That was then when we got a drink of the world. But when we tasted of the glory of God, when we tasted who Jesus was, amen, he'll take the taste out of your mouth because now you've got something better. Sign, sign, everywhere sign, blocking the scenery, clouding my mind. You can't even go through the mall without some sign telling you, buy this. It's screaming at you, buy it, get this. Oh, won't you look good in this? Signs. What do they mean? And what do they do? Notice, when those shepherds were out in the field, the Lord said to them, I show you a sign. The angelic hosts were a sign in themselves, but they said, I want to show you the main sign. It's not us. We just came to let you know how important it was. Unto you is born this day, and you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Come on, help me, somebody. They said, now, we are many, but he's one, but he's the one that you need. Great God Almighty. A lot of people saying, you know what? I hope I get a brand new this and a brand new that. You know, I hope I save a ton of money on Geico. I hope all of that is given in Liberty Mutual. Only buy what you need. I hope I get some. But have you got some Jesus? Have you got joy deep down in your soul? Do you know he's real? Do you know he's your way maker and your burden bearer? They gave that announcement, and what they wanted to do was to convert their audience. They didn't just want them to hear the clear communication. They wanted to convert them so that now what they heard was now deep down in their soul. Did they get the message? Here's where we need to look at these shepherds, and we need to ask ourselves, did they get the message or did they just get the sign? Well, let's read and find out. The Bible tells us that when the angels, look at verse 15, after the angels were gone from them into heaven, now this thing was good. Anytime angels come directly out of heaven, they didn't make a detour. Freddie, they say they didn't take a shortcut. They came directly out of heaven to the shepherds. That's how important this thing was. And the shepherds, look at this. They stopped looking at the angels and they said to one another, let us go now. Oh, hold up. Time out. That's where a lot of people will start having problems. That's when the sign starts blocking what they really need to do. Someone could have said, wait a minute, what are we going to do with these sheep? Who's going to tend these sheep? Oh, wait a minute, I'm tired. Not tonight. I don't want to go tonight. And not today, God. I don't want to get saved today. Not today, God. I don't want to live for you today. I got a good life ahead of me. You sure? Excuses. Not one did they give. They said, let us go now. Look at somebody and say, go now. Don't touch them. Don't touch nobody. You ain't want to catch nothing, all right? All right. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. They said, angels, that was good, but you told us something greater, and we're going to go after something greater. Let me just pause for a minute and tell you that there are a lot of people have what we call sickbed religion. When they're on the sickbed, they know how to call on God. As soon as they get off their sickbed, then they say, well, you know what? I'm feeling better now. I'll go to church next week. I pray. I read my Bible. Maybe at the end of the week. Wait a minute. When you needed God, you made all these vows and all these signs. Lord, if you just get me up from here, Lord, you ain't gonna have to worry about me anymore. Sign. But God wants you to see the Savior. He wants you to notice the Savior in your life. Not just as a temporary thing, because we told you that signs are a temporary thing. Don't you know you got to pay for signs on the road? You got to pay for signs on the internet? You got to pay for that stuff. See, you're going to get a sign out there. You're going to put up, I love Jesus. Or you're going to put up a sign, Black Lives Matter. Every life really matters, because when you think about it, if you ain't living, thank God I was born black. That's what he told me, amen, and I don't take it back. But I tell you what, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Sign. Here goes sign said, vote for me and I'll set you free. Sign. Everywhere a sign, blocking up the scenery, messing with my mind. Do this. Don't do that. Can't you read the sign? So the shepherds left off their sheep. They said, we're not going to let anything distract us. We're not going to let any obstacle come in our way. We're going, and we're going now. Think back to the moment that you made a decision that Jesus would be Lord of your life. There was something pulling you. There was something tugging at your heart. There was something that was saying to you, you can't stay the way you are. Now, a lot of y'all got saved in church. I got saved in a club. Amen, somebody. You know how it is when you half drunk? Huh? But the other half was God started talking and giving a sign. And the Lord said, tonight's your night. Amen. And then, you know, one of the things that we used to do from the country now, we ain't leave no half-filled bottles. I shouldn't be saying all this. Somebody's going to get tempted to go drink. I pray the Holy Ghost would take that from you. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So anyway, that night when my sign came, something pulled at my heart. Something said to me, Coleman, you cannot live in the state that you're in. Not only is it something that is urgent and important and to keep you from losing your soul, but guess what I got for you? I've got a new life. I've got joy. I've got peace. All of that, all you need to do is follow me. And I remember it clearly. But one thing I don't do, I don't go back to South Korea to that club and say, here's where it all happened. I don't have to. I followed the direction of the sign. Can I tell you what my grandma said? Now he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. I don't have to look for a sign because I know him. I know him. Signs are not permanent. They're something given. So here goes those shepherds. They're running, man. There, because the Bible says, how do you know they're running? Well, some of them may have been old and they, like me, you call fast walking running. But they made haste. They got in a hurry. Why is it that when we come to church, everybody, amen, they act like, well, I'm just going to chill out. They don't get excited. But come Monday morning at 8 o'clock or whenever you go in, I got to get to work, I got to get to work. When are you going to get to Jesus? Hallelujah, somebody. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I just thought I'd put that in there just in case. Amen, just in case. The sign. They made haste, and when they arrived at the stable, they saw something that not only surprised them, but also satisfied their soul. These wise men, as Chuck Swindoll said, he said, these wise men saw a Savior as it was promised, but they also saw something that they could relate to in Jesus, the stable, the animals, and him being in a feeding trough. They looked at one another and said, you know what? He's one of us. We can relate to him. You got a Jesus you can touch. You got a Savior you can reach out, and he knows, as it says in Hebrews, he knows your infirmities. He knows your weaknesses. He knows when I'm down. He knows when just like the song the choir sing. Anybody know him? I'll let you know how that confirmed that I was supposed to preach this message today. I'll let you know that in just a minute. But it's something how God shows you the sign, and every sign that is alive points to Jesus. It points to the Savior. They arrived there. They saw, but then something happened when they saw Jesus. Oh, when you see Jesus, what joy fills your soul. When you see Jesus, everything is all right. When you see Jesus and embrace his love and embrace the grace of God, you can say he's one of us. They saw the good shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd. He was the one that Psalm 23 talked about. And as a matter of fact, as I get ready to close this message, throughout the scripture, every book of the Bible has pointed to one man. Jesus said, "Search the scripture, for in it you think you will find salvation, but they're the ones that testify of me." Isn't that something? So what do you want today? What do you want for Christmas? Some of y'all say, "I want a diamond ring. Santa baby. I want a new car. I want a yacht." You want all that stuff. But if the Savior ain't on your list, your soul is in trouble. Are y'all going to talk to me? This Christmas season gives us a tremendous opportunity of not only going and finding and celebrating Christ himself, but then we have a tremendous opportunity of sharing Christ with the world. People will wonder, especially during this time where we don't know the certainty of what tomorrow is going to bring, yet we know the one who will bring tomorrow. Amen. Mahalia Jackson said he's got the whole world in his hand. And when you think about the Savior and not just the sign, you'll be able to have joy this Christmas. You'll be able to celebrate in peace. Even though you might have a simple meal at home by yourself, you still got Jesus sitting at your table. Lord, have mercy. Can I talk about him? He's the one that you need. I'm getting ready to close this argument, but now is the time that we need to celebrate Christ by sharing him. The Bible tells us that the shepherds, not only did they see the sign, not only did they seek out the sign, but then they shared the sign. They shared the sign. After they had seen Jesus, they got so excited, forgot about their sheep on the hill because they knew the Lord going to take care of them. They'll be there. Amen. If they wander off, we can still get them back. How many of y'all know that? By the way, let me just prophesy over your life. Everything that the devil has taken from you, Jesus Christ is able to bring it back. And if he does not bring it back, he will always give you something better. Can I get a witness in here? The pain that you felt during 2020, the heartache that you've been through, the loss of loved ones, did you not know that his name is Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Because Jesus is our Savior. I close by sharing with you that these shepherds went out, and the Bible tells us in verse 17, they made known. Now, pay close attention to that word, they made known, which meant they talked with folk. You know, they had, you know, twisted folk that said, "Wait a minute, what you see?" I told you one time what I saw. About like a time down in Scottsburg, we saw a bear. Everybody said, "No, you saw a deer. We know what a bear is." We saw a bear. Like a time that I forgot his name now, but anyway, they were going to the cucumber market, right? And they had been drinking. And they lost their cucumber check, which meant they had no money. So now, Freddie, they got to go back and they got to explain to the people at the cucumber market, right up in Clover. They got to explain to people what happened to the check. And they trying to convince them the buzzard ate it, flew in the car, ate the check, and now we don't know what we're going to do. It's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe that. It was hard for people to believe the shepherd story. But when they saw the glow in their eye, when they saw the look on their face, they made known unto them what they had seen. They made known the saying which was written, or which was given to them, told them concerning this child. They didn't add to it. By the way, you don't have to add to the Bible. It'll stand on its own. People say, "I want to defend the Bible." You ain't got to defend the Bible. The Bible will defend you. Whole lot of folk talk about, "Well, the Bible going to pass away." Now they passed away and the Bible's still going. Yeah, it'll defend you. But can I tell you that this is not the first sign of the Savior? As a matter of fact, every book of the Bible that has been written always pointed to Christ as the Lord. In Genesis, he's the breath of life. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, the fire that night. And Deuteronomy, he's Moses' voice. My question to you is, do you know him? In Joshua, he's salvation choice. Judges, he's the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's the kinsman's redeemer. Isn't that something? In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's the sovereign Lord. In Ezra, he's the true and faithful priest. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls. Can somebody shout amen? And in Esther, he's the one that it was Mordecai's courage. In Job, he's the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he's our morning song. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's the time and season that the Bible talks about. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. My question to you is, do you know him? If you know him, then God has come into your life. Isaiah saw him as the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah saw him as the weeping prophet. In Lamentation, he was the cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire and the stone hewn out of the mountain. In Hosea, he's the forever faithful. In Joel, he's the Spirit's power. My question to you is, do you know him? In Amos, he's the arms that carry us. In Obadiah, he's the Lord, our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. My question to you is, do you know him? In Micah, he's the promise of peace. In Nahum, he's our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's pleading for revival. My question to you is, do you know him? Have you met him? Have you called on his mighty name? In Haggai, he restores the lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness that rises with healing in his wing. Do you know him today? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is God. He's the Son of Man, and he's the Messiah. In the book of Acts, he's the fire from heaven. In Romans, he's the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he's the power of love. Isn't that something? Clap your hands if you know him. In Galatians, he's our freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. Isn't that something? Do you know him today? Amen. In the book of Colossians, he's the Godhead of the Trinity. In Thessalonians, he is our coming king. In 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. Do you know him today? Great God Almighty. In the book of Hebrews, he's the everlasting covenant. In the book of James, the one who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's our good shepherd. Praise God Almighty. Do you know him today? Do you love him today? In John and Jude, he's the lover coming from the bride. In Revelation, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They call him Alpha and Omega, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. He says, I am the great I am. Do you know Jesus today? Do you love Jesus today? Look for the Savior and don't worry about the sign, because it's just a sign. But the Savior is the Lord of glory. Clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let the weak say, I'm strong, because God has shown us our Savior. Lord, I thank you that you became one of us. You didn't just come to visit. You came to show us who you were. Share with us the pain. You ate with the disciples, slept with them, Lord, and you knew everything about them. And they knew you. And Lord, I thank you that here it is, centuries later, we're still celebrating the goodness of the Lord. Thank you that during this Christmas season, Lord, you've set us free from the bondage. No, the sign doesn't interrupt the scenery, and it doesn't block our mind. It points to Christ. And because of that, we love you more, and we want to serve you better. Bless that one that is listening right now. That one in our parking lot, that one that's listening online or over the airways, I pray for them. I pray for their soul that they simply look to the Savior who is our everlasting sign. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.